we're back. I'm Karen Hartglass, and this is It's All About Food. And, whew, I'm just very, very excited about this right now. So, I went to a little university in a town that time forgot called Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. And that was Bucknell University. And it was a long time ago. But the school really hasn't changed much. They've added a few buildings here and there. And last year when it was just a few months ago, mm-hmm. I think, I got my alumni news and I learned about Lisa McComsey, who came out with a book called The Vegan Cheat Sheet. And I went, what? Another vegan went to Bucknell? So I had to bring her on the program. And she's here with me in the studio along with her co-author, Amy Kramer. And let me just, give you a little introduction. I had it in front of me, and I don't have it anymore because I had some computer problems. But I'm going to read from the book just briefly. Amy is a vegan chef, coach, instructor, and entrepreneur. And actually, I'm going to have you go to my website and read more about them because I just want to talk to them. And Lisa is a writer, marketing consultant, and public speaker. And they both co-authored The Vegan Cheat Sheet. So welcome to It's All About Food, Lisa and Amy.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Okay, great. So, first, when I was at Bucknell, we had a vegetarian meal plan. We had this guy, Hank Ross. Was he there when you were there?
Yes, he was.
And he instituted the vegetarian meal plan. And I was sad to learn many years later that they didn't have one anymore. Yeah, it's over. But I guess maybe they just offer a wide variety of food so you can just pick and choose. But it was a long time ago, and it's always very exciting to find out that there are other people that have taken similar journeys as you have. And I found Lisa. So, hi, Lisa.
Hi,
Karen. I just met her, too.
We passed each other on the lawn at Bucknell at some point, I'm sure.
I guess so, right. I graduated in 80.
I was 81.
81. Mm-hmm. Look at that. And, oh, my goodness. Well, destiny wanted us to get together at some point. I remember... this wasn't vegan, but one of the first dishes I ever made in my freshman dorm room in Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
They had
that
a little
was my
kitchen.
Freshman dorm room.
We decided we wanted to cook, and I made a vegetarian lasagna, and we collected as many saltine crackers as we could get from the cafeteria for our breading. It was pretty good. But I think we're all better cooks now. Okay, so briefly, Lisa, tell me your story about how you learned to love plants. And then, Amy, you can tell me yours.
Great.
I was not a vegetarian back in Bucknell days. Mm-hmm. I was very much an omnivore. Although I believe it was during my college years I decided to give up meat. I felt that red meat was not a healthy choice. But for the next several decades, I enjoyed poultry and fish.
The feathered
and
vegetable
dairy.
And the scaly vegetable.
Yes. And lots and lots of dairy. I loved all those foods. I had ice cream sundaes and pizza and yogurt and all kinds of great things all the time. I was very much into exercise, and I think I felt I could eat whatever I wanted mm-hmm. without really gaining weight. And my motivation for going vegan was twofold. One was my family was about to embark on a Get Fit competition. And we all put money into a pot, made weight loss and fitness goals, and the person who succeeded met his or her goals at the end, won this big pot of money. I was very motivated by the pot of money. And at the same time, I talked to Amy, with whom I've been friends for many years. We were colleagues at People magazine many years ago. Mm. And she and her husband had gone vegan. And this coincided perfectly with my family fit competition. I thought, I'll try going vegan for 1 month. Thinking I would hate it. I could only survive on carrot sticks and tofu for about 4 weeks. After that, it was back to the usual fare. And once I got over the overwhelm factor of what am I going to eat and how am I going to make these things, once I got used to it, I absolutely fell in love with it. I felt like a whole new world opened up to me. New foods, new flavors. Right. I discovered new recipes. I just became impassioned with this way of eating. And that was 5 years ago.
Great. So many of us have that experience. And the trick is, how do we get people to just make that leap? And, you know, there are all the different kinds of incentives, the 30-day, the 21-day, mm-hmm. the 60-day, the, you know, 20, whatever. Just try it. And you start yes. to feel good.
Yes. You and know, my motivation was for health reasons. I read the China Study and Prevent Reverse Heart Disease. Those two books single-handedly convinced me that I needed to eliminate animal right. products from my diet.
Okay, Amy, how about you?
Okay, my story began, my husband was on cholesterol meds as long as I remember. Mm-hmm. I had met him in college, and probably by the time he was in his 20s, he had hereditarily high cholesterol. And whenever we would go out to a restaurant, he would always order the salad with maybe grilled chicken, no dressing. I would order the hamburger, and he really, you know, ate like someone that was really trying to watch their health and watch their, you know, weight. However, he still had hereditarily high cholesterol. So finally, the doctors just had to put him on meds at a very, very young age and said he would always be on statins. And he hated it. He had been on probably for, oh gosh, since he was probably 30. And right now he's 50. So he had been on that for 15 years and just was tired of being on meds and thought there must be a better way. We were lucky enough to be living in Cleveland at the time.
Ah.
I thought it was lucky. And my husband grew up and knew the Esselstyn family, the famous Dr. Caldwell Esselstyn, who wrote Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease. So he knew of Dr. Esselstyn's theory that you can actually go off cholesterol meds and reduce your cholesterol naturally to such an extent without medication. And obviously prevent and reverse any heart disease you have and prevent any future. The preventing part was the part that my husband was focused on. So he decided, he just went full force into Dr. Esselstyn's program, 100% plant-based, and then began with no added oils whatsoever, which is actually the way we remained. And within weeks, he started, you know, going down with his doctor's supervision on his cholesterol meds, and now he's been off his cholesterol meds for almost, you know, by 14 years and
wow.
never looked back.
Wow.
So I did it to really support him. And then I found I loved it. And then I took my passion of cooking and made it into my business, which is cooking, you know, oil-free vegan foods, for the consumers.
Well, statins can be really dangerous. They may lower your cholesterol, but they can do a lot of other damage. So it's good that he got off them.
Yeah.
And this thing about something being hereditary, we're learning more and more about genes expressing themselves or not. And they don't have to express themselves if you don't give them the opportunity.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, so many people, they just give up because they say it's hereditary, it's in my family. There's nothing I can do about it. And that's not true.
And that's the same with cancers as well, obviously, as you know, and Dr. Campbell's books, which basically was talking about how everyone, you know, people, you know, grew up with exposed to whatever things and toxins and predispositions as they were, but eating these animal proteins can trigger things that never would have been triggered if you don't consume the animal proteins, if you have a plant-based diet. And that was my motivation after, you know, I did it for my husband, but really that also resonated tremendously with me. It was just an always a lifetime fear.
Right. And you're both into fitness, and you're both feeling physically pretty awesome,
absolutely.
Right?
Yes,
absolutely.
Yes, we are.
Energy level not. It's quite the opposite. I think that as far as the energy level, I think people are concerned that they don't eat enough, and I think that that's ridiculous. That's a fallacy. But also the change in energy level, the feeling that you get after a meal, especially the one I would get, and I think Lisa would get as well when we consume dairy, that exhaustion, that tire, that just wanting to lay down after a meal really just goes away when you don't consume, or at least for us, when you don't consume those animal-based products. And specifically for me, it was dairy.
Yeah, well, I love to hear these stories. And fortunately, I think we're making a dent. Now, you mentioned cancer. I'm an ovarian cancer survivor.
Yes.
Somehow I got it. And I have some theories about how it happened to me, but the point is here, it's been 7.5 years and I'm alive and thriving, where, you know, unfortunately most women don't get through it. But one of the things that I was happy to discover Unfortunately, I was with a close relative who has been just diagnosed with advanced ovarian cancer, and I was with her in the hospital talking to her future surgeon, and she was talking about to the nurse about what food she might get, and she said, I'm a vegan, I want vegan food, and there was the nurse didn't even flinch. It was like, yeah, no problem. And I thought, whoa, I mean, 7 years ago that that didn't happen, and I'm sure it's not happening everywhere, but it's getting better. People know this word, and I think it's just going to now snowball and just go really fast, I'm hoping.
I just find when I do talks, there are so many misconceptions about what the vegan diet is. Mm-hmm. And I get up there, and I see eyes glaze over. Oh, here's somebody talking about going vegan. And by the end of the talk, I've sold 10 or 20 books. Mm-hmm. People cannot believe the things they can eat. It's not a deprivation diet. It's, like I said, full of flavors and textures, and you can eat pancakes and pizza
pancakes.
And muffins. And I heard the pancake thing, and I want to find your pancake recipes. And we have pancake recipes in our book as well, but it's a rich, rich diet.
Yes, it's a rich diet, and we all end up looking fabulous relative to our peers who aren't looking as fabulous, because it could be a vanity diet, too.
Absolutely.
You know, I got into it because I didn't want to kill animals, but there's a piece of it where, you know, I want to look as good as I can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think I'm looking pretty good.
You do look fabulous.
And I think absolutely. And I can't even, yes.
You can't even see me. I'm looking at, let's just breeze through some of the recipes in here. So this is a nice book, The Vegan Cheat Sheet. It's got some basic information about going vegan and the foods you'll eat and not eat, and the vitamins and nutritional components of different foods, and then some recipes. I'm looking at spinach calzones. And I bring
easiest
that
easiest thing ever.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't see calzones very often anywhere around, and so I'm always excited when I see calzone recipes or Stromboli recipes, because they're.
Yeah, I guess growing up in New York, I loved calzones, and
yeah.
I was really looking for a way to feed the family. And I know my kids. I think if they control what's inside the calzone, they're a lot more likely to eat it. If I decide what's going in, then they'll bark at it. But if they say, Mom, put, you know, some peppers, or put some, you know, don't put any peppers, or just put some spinach inside mine, or put some broccoli. And it's just as easy to make 4 custom calzones and throw whatever I want in than it would be to make them all the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I mark each one on top, maybe with a little piece of broccoli or a little piece of tomato when I bake them. Everyone gets their individual. And I find that to be a quick, easy, even a dinner to go
when
everyone's in a rush.
It's a winner. And I'm surprised that I don't see more of these, but it's comforting. It's that comfort kind of food packaged in a nice bread, all tucked in, cozy and gooey and very good. Very good. And so most of the recipes in here are simple. There's the Mujadara. Now, I'm a big fan of lentils, and usually when you get that in a restaurant, it's like oil and mujadara.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think the oil, you know, I have to be honest. Lisa and I have, discovered that, I think you'd be hard pressed to taste any of the recipes in the book and really realize that there isn't oil. People feel that you need oil to start everything in your kitchen. Every time you fry something, you need oil. And I just gave it up as simple as not doing it. And I would start, I'd pick a really nice, heavy, dark pan. Everyone figures out whatever their favorite pan is at home to use. And you start your onions dry. And then whenever your onions start to stick a little, or maybe start to brown, add a little water, and just a teeny bit of water, maybe a quarter cup. It deglazes your pan right away. And then it's cooking in its own natural sugars and juices. And you enhance the flavor of the vegetable. So I think that the elimination of oils or anything processed, for that matter, is a pretty quick and easy one, and I don't think it's noticeable in the flavor of the foods.
Now, you've probably gotten the response, what? No oil?
Oh, here we go.
What?
I hear that all. People fight me on it. I'm not even the chef. Amy's the chef, but I find myself defending it because I've tried it, and it's so easy, and it doesn't change the flavor. As Amy said, it really enhances it in some way because of the way it's cooked and caramelized.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sometimes hesitant to bring up the oil part when I'm just trying to get people interested in the diet and get them off of animal. And then, you know, I throw in, by the way, I don't use oil in my recipes. And then that's what they focus on, and they really get crazy.
Mm-hmm.
What is it in our makeup? Yes.
Yeah, if you follow a recipe, I would think it's just the old-fashioned way. They thought their mothers starting every single pan with first there was onions and then there was garlic. And I start exactly the same way my mother did, but I don't grab for the oil first. I just grab for my good heavy pan.
Mm-hmm.
And it tastes exactly the same, except it doesn't have that oily flavor. And you end up eating so much more of the nutrients. We end up eating much larger portions.
Right.
I think, Lisa, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, to keep the calorie intake. So you get to eat a lot more of the same delicious food.
More food.
And you mentioned easy, Karen, and I just want to clarify here that I am not a cook at all by any stretch of the imagination. I am culinarily impaired, seriously. Cooking intimidates me, and Amy's recipes are so easy, and I'm making my way through all of them. They are delicious, and if I can make them, anyone can.
I'm really dating myself now, but I remember that commercial. I hate to cook, and I wrote the I Hate to Cook book. Who was that? And what commercial was that for? I don't know, but
I remember the book, but not the commercial.
Right. Okay. This oil thing, I don't want to labor it a little, but I think we agree. I believe in fats, and I believe fats are healthy in the diet, and I get mine from whole foods like raw nuts and seeds and avocado.
Same.
I know that there's this kind of undercurrent debate in the vegan world, oil, no oil, little oil, some oil, or
and I
fats
think that the caveat is heart disease. If you're trying to reverse your heart disease the Dr. Esselstyn way, and my husband really does need to watch it as well, if you have heart disease and you are trying to reverse it, then you really do need to stay away from any of the added fats.
Well,
the nuts and the avocado. According to Dr.
Right, I'm very familiar with his work, and it's great. But
right.
Dr. Furman, who's another great plant-based doctor, will say that's not necessary. He really believes
in
the raw nuts and seeds.
That's definitely a debate, but
choice.
Lisa and I do this.
Yeah. Right, but there's a lot that's similar between them, and that's the important part. Plants, eating lots of whole, minimally processed plants, they're delicious and wonderful. And then, you know, if you want to split a few hairs and split a few nuts and figure that out, that's up to you.
Right. We make cashew creams a lot. I think Lisa and I both, favorite thing to do.
Can we
is
just go ode to cashew cream here for a moment?
Bow down to cashew cream, yes.
I'll go and buy a, you know, pound or two of raw cashews. They have to be raw at the time. Throw them in the Cuisinart, one part water to one part cashews, puree it, walk away for 8 minutes or so until it's smooth as silk. Then I just divide it up into little bags, throw it in the freezer. And last night I made a lackluster pasta sauce. And I really wanted something delicious and rich, and it just was boring because I didn't have anything good to put in. So I just grabbed the cashew cream. Mm. I defrosted it very, very quickly, threw it in, and my husband's like, this is the best thing you ever made. I think it's like twice a week cashew creams ends up in some meal that I'm doing. And then I feel like my kids are complete with their protein for the meal as well and their fats, especially having kids that are, you know, crazy, you know, high school athletes. Just I throw some marinara with some cashew cream in there, some whole grain pasta. Maybe some steamed broccoli on top. That's it.
Now, Amy, you have kids, and Lisa,
yeah,
do you have kids?
I don't have kids.
You don't. So just Amy, you've got teenage kids, and are they eating the way you and your husband are eating?
Okay, what the decision that I had made is that I will keep the home a certain way, and then out of the home they have their choice of what to do. So I don't tell them what to do out of the house, and in the home we keep it a certain way. I keep it vegan. Occasionally, you know, my kids will, you know, sneak in a little Parmesan here or there, but that's basically about it. So the home is vegan, and they enjoy it. And I have to be honest, as they get older, I'd be surprised if they all didn't eventually become vegan. They're becoming more and more vegan naturally on their own. But one's a vegetarian, and two, occasionally when they go out with their friends, they'll order something with a little chicken or meat in it, but they end up leaving it over, which is pretty hilarious. They think they're just accustomed to it. So I have a strict home, and whatever I pack lunch for them, which is quite often, and then every single dinner they have and every single breakfast they have. So the majority of their food, yes, is indeed, I get to control.
Great. And Lisa, your family, your siblings, and everyone around you, are they supportive of this diet?
Everyone is supportive. I have no converts, however.
Nope, not yet.
My mom keeps saying, I think I could be vegan except for the cheese.
Right. It's hard. And You know, I think it's harder as we get older for lots of reasons, not just because of it's a behavioral thing, but when we've been doing something for so long and then we say what I've been doing hasn't been right. That's kind of tough. Mm-hmm. I think it's easier when we're a teenager and we're rebellious. We want to do something contrary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, that's what I was all about when I was younger. And I don't want to say that I became vegetarian because I wanted to be contrary, but it was part of my nature. I was comfortable being contrary. So when I realized I didn't want to kill animals, it was easy. But I think it's a lot harder for adults because,
you know, and I think also their body gets confused messages. I know my sister would say constantly, oh, you know, maybe it's that time in her cycle. And she'd be like, I crave iron. I need iron. I have to eat meat. But yet my body would never ask for meat. My body would just ask for more greens and spinach if I craved iron. So I just don't think the bodies are familiar with the messages that if you crave certain things, you're probably, you know, there's many other ways to get it.
That's a really interesting thing to talk about, cravings and how we misinterpret those feelings and those mm-hmm. messages. We think we know what we need and we don't have a clue.
Chocolate for love? No, that's not what you're talking about.
No, but you know, when we, but lots of things go on in the body and we're learning more and more about it and sometimes when we have addictions, and food can be an addiction, there are things that we crave because we're weaning ourselves off of them. Doesn't mean our body needs them, but we talk ourselves into thinking, oh, I'm craving it, so I need it. And we know, most of us know nothing about nutrition. We know a few words, protein. We have no idea what it is. We have no idea what a carbohydrate is or complex carbohydrate. We have no idea what anything is, but we talk like, oh, I'm tired. I must need protein. No, you need to take a nap.
Well, I also think we get messages from the time we're children about what nutrition is. We take health classes. We have food pyramids. We hear from the milk board that we need dairy. We hear from the egg board. We need eggs, all of that. And I find that a lot, that people come to me and say, well, milk is good for you. I have to have milk because where else am I going to get my calcium and vitamin D? So it's a matter of putting those myths to bed.
Okay. Wow. We just have a couple minutes. I can't believe it's already that fast. Wow. Okay. So, wow. Where can people find you and find this book? Do you have a website?
Our website is vegancheatsheet.com. We're on Amazon. We're in Barnes & Noble. We're in a lot of independent bookstores. We're in my local health food store.
And Amy, you have a business, and where are you?
My business, right now, it's distributed throughout a supermarket chain in Chicago and Cleveland called Heinen's. And probably, hopefully, in the next, you know, 6 months to a year, all goes well, we plan to be around the whole U.S.
Okay.
And it's called Vegan Eats.
Vegan Eats.
And veganeats.com is the website.
Okay, well, vegan is the word, and it's going to explode, and we're going to be there. Well, any last minute, do you have a favorite recipe we didn't mention or before we go, or some last magic words?
We wrote the book because we wanted to show people how easy going vegan really mm-hmm. is. So for anyone who thinks it's complicated, hard, or deprivational, pick up the book. We make it very easy, step by step. The recipes are fabulous. One of my favorite recipes is the curry butternut squash soup.
Mm.
What about you, Aim?
Oh, gosh. I honestly have to say the tomato rosa sauce with cashew cream. I make it probably twice a week.
Mm.
Some tomato sauce pureed with the cashew cream, shot of vodka when no one's looking.
Yeah.
And everyone's happy.
That sounds great. Well,
one for the pot, one. No.
hopefully we can all get together and share a meal sometime.
Yes.
That would be fun and delicious, I'm sure.
Yes.
Well, thanks for joining me on It's All About Food. I'm sorry we're at the end of the program, but here we are. Visit me at responsibleeatingandliving.com, and I do want to hear from you. I get really excited when I hear from some listeners here about their progress and their challenges. I just heard from somebody who had a third veganiversary. I'm so proud of you, Jim, for doing that. And have a delicious week.